You did that without even looking at your notes.
How do you know? You don't know what's on my computer, but I did.
You looked at me the whole time with creepy eye contact.
Oh, I didn't. It's like, how do you know?
Giant robot smashing into other giant robots.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast. I'm Ben.
And I'm Chris.
And we're going to be talking about the products that we manage at Thoughtbot. I run an app called FormKeep, which provides form backends for designers and developers.
And I, Chris, run Upcase, our subscription learning platform for aspiring web developers.
So how's it going?
It is going well. And you, Ben?
I'm well. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Happy April 21st.
Man, it got really warm out.
It
suddenly
did.
Became spring, and everyone showed up on the common.
They really did. I walked from home to here to record the podcast and through the common, and
because
it was
you
crazy.
Have that amazing commute.
Yeah. Took a whole 9-ish minutes. But yeah, it was a surprising amount of people on the in the park.
This is that magical day that happens every year where it's that first day that kind of breaks. And so suddenly, if you're at a college, the quads just fill up with people and everyone's just like, no, I have to be outside now.
Yeah. Well, it's cracked 70 for like the first time this year.
Yeah.
And I was reading this thing about things that do and don't make you happy. It was a really good article, and it was about the hedonic treadmill and all these things. But one of the things was sunshine.
Yes.
So consistent sunshine does not show a significant impact on happiness. But when it switches to sunshine from other weather, it does.
Interesting.
So, and this is a suspicion that I've always kind of had about New England weather, is that like it, you can't actually appreciate amazing weather if it happens all the time. And so the fact that the weather changes, to me, is like makes it better.
So this is how you feel okay about being in the Boston office and not the San Francisco office.
I love it. I love the Four Seasons.
I do. I mean, towards the end of everyone, it feels like, all right, cool. But what if you were to just not do this anymore? But there's also like the transition is really nice. Although I'm wearing jeans today and that's too much. It was an unreasonable amount of pant to be wearing while on the coffee walk today.
Yeah.
So
true. I would shorten the winter a little bit, I guess. But otherwise, I like the weather just fine.
It's interesting. This year, for the first time, admittedly, this winter was very mild, especially compared to last winter, which was just destructive. But also, Joe's been ranting enough about this that I finally started to come around on the idea that winter is actually pretty great, and the idea of like winter outdoor activities. You can control your temperature more than you can in the summer, and it's beautiful and pristine, and et cetera, et cetera. He makes a good sale.
He does. Yeah. He's a big hiking the mountains kind of guy in the winter.
Indeed.
Yeah. So you want to talk about stuff?
Yeah. Why don't you go first? How are your internets?
Okay. Things are going really well. The last week has been awesome. I continued sort of that rhythm of doing stuff pretty fast, like shipping pretty small incremental changes or like having an idea and like just doing it really fast. So I've got there's some new stuff. So one thing we're seeing is, so one of the things I did this week was instrument our funnel. So we're sending a lot more events now to Segment and from Segment to everywhere else.
What sort of events do you have? What does your funnel look like now?
Things like hit the landing page, created an account, like entered email and password, entered a credit card, created a form, received a submission, things like that.
Okay. And so now those are all associated with some sort of user identifier so that you can track a given user through their adventure in the funnel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And also so we can look at, more so actually, so that we can look at an aggregate and say, okay, 600 people hit this page and then who got to the next step. So we're still collecting data, so I'm not putting too much faith in it, but there is a pretty big fall off between two screens in our funnel, which is you click like, yeah, I want to do it. I want to make a form. And so we say, okay, what's your email and password? And then the people enter that and they hit the next page. It was like, what's your credit card? And a huge chunk of people fall off. The completion rate when I saw it, I think was something like 10%. It's like 90% of people are like, actually, no, not going to enter a credit card.
Interesting. So I was expecting you to say something a little bit further down, like, okay, so they've given us a credit card, but then they don't create a form or something like that. But this one, like, they hit a credit card form and they decide not to give you money. Do you believe that there's work to be done here? And there certainly is, but what's your takeaway? What are you going to do now that you've seen that, presuming it holds after more data comes through?
Well, so I have a couple thoughts about what is causing people to dump out of that page, but I figured it would be better to ask people rather than just guess. So I actually added a button to that page, to our credit card form, which is a red no thanks button. So we have like a blue, like, here's my info, submit, give me my thing. And then I read, like, nah, not going to do it. And this is an idea that, like, I came up with Chad Mazzola at this, like, little side project we launched a million years ago. And we got some good feedback from it. And so I was like, let's do this again. And so that's actually live right now. You can see it if you go to the credit card page. And so if you click it, it says, please help us understand. Why don't you want to enter your credit card? And then I didn't want to enter my credit card because, and a little text input.
Hmm.
And so I've actually had three people submit it. One person was just like, hello,
yeah.
Which is pretty typical
on
the internet.
Yeah, you put a text box on the internet, yep. So you had that coming. So
someone's just like, hey, look, a thing. But someone else was like, so I have two legit reasons as mm-hmm. of this recording time. One was I'm signing up for a client, which I thought was a pretty good reason. Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't have the client's credit card. You want to set this up. If we had a no credit card sign up, this would be actually a pretty nice way to do it.
Interesting.
This developer person could set it up yep. for the client and then say, you need to go in before this date and enter your credit card to keep this thing running. And the other person said, what? Oh, he said, I don't want to take the risk, or something along those lines. And he, I checked, is on the B variant of our credit, of our trial versus guarantee.
Which is, can you remind me what that does?
So he doesn't see that he's going to get a free trial. He sees that we offer a 60-day money-back guarantee.
Right.
So to this person, at least, that was not a sufficient thing. Huh. Although he then went and signed up anyway. Actually, both those people did.
Now.
Or no, maybe just the free, yeah, just that guy.
So you had an exchange with these people, right? So they filled out that text box. Then did you reply to them?
I emailed both of them.
Okay.
Neither of them has responded yet.
But they both ended up subscribing.
One did, the other did not.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun. It's a fun
yeah,
game.
So it's cool. And I have their emails because they've already created an account, so I can yep. follow up with them. And I'm using FormKeep, by the way, to make FormKeep. Like, that form is a FormKeep form that goes to FormKeep, and then...
Yo, dog.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So that was cool. And yeah, I'm digging this like vibe of like, just ask people and try to talk to them.
Yep.
So along those lines, did we talk about the onboarding offer thing last week?
We've discussed it, yeah, a couple times. So do you have that active?
Yes, that started running as of a handful of days ago. Maybe last week, actually. No one has taken me up on it.
How many people have gone through? How many people have had the opportunity?
We just started, I don't know, a bunch, a handful, a decent amount. No one has done it. I mean, we had like at least, we had probably like 10 or 15 trials go through it and say no explicitly.
Can you remind me where specifically?
So I moved it. So before, and originally yeah. it was like, you hit the landing page, you click like, yes, I want to create my form. And the first thing you saw was like, hi, I'm Ben. Do you want help setting up your form? And
well, when you view your customers as having that voice, how can
that's
you expect
me.
Them?
Oh. Yeah.
When you view yourself
hi,
as having that
I'm
voice.
I'm Ben.
Yeah, but the anyway.
That was your clue. So no one said yes. And then I was like, okay, maybe I'm doing it too soon. Maybe I need to play a little harder to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved it to after they enter a credit card. So it's like, mm-hmm. they're like clearly in. So these are people that are definitely interested in trying the product, and no one has.
So they've entered
said
a credit
yes.
card, they hit submit. Do they then land on a page that says, hey, would you like? And then they go to another page.
Yep.
Okay.
If they say no, they go to just into the normal create your first form thing.
Gotcha.
If they say yes, they go to my Calendly. But so far, no one has done it. Which
yeah.
makes me sad because I want to talk to people.
I get that. My initial thoughts around how I would do this and then how it would generally work is to offer something up front to like catch them before they're even going through the sign up. Especially, well, I guess this is true for both of us. There's an immediacy. Like, I gave my credit card. I want to do this now. I don't want to have to schedule a thing and then get on a call. And I want to make this now. I'm in work mode now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you can catch someone, like I imagine either of us could say, hey, people out there in Radioland. Actually, someone has already said that to me in the past. I would love to, you know, be an onboarded customer. And I wonder if that's the way to do it. I don't know how to capture that, though, or how to do that without biasing the audience that we're going to get. Because, like, if we ask on the podcast, we get a particular subset of our individual potential customers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we do it through any other number of channels, it gets biased. I liked the randomness of just kind of picking people at random after they've signed up. They're part of your cohort, but it sounds like that's not converting as well. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's the reason why, but I don't know.
Well, I think you'll always have a bias. So the only people that will accept your offer are the kind of people that want to accept your offer. And it's like always a selection
yeah,
bias.
You'll definitely have that bias, but I'm thinking more of the bias of like who's listening to this podcast is a different group than people who organically land on either of our sites.
Right. Yep, totally. Yeah. So I wonder, as you're talking, I was thinking of like, can I bribe people?
Right.
Like, and would that be, does that make sense? Like, I'm pitching it as like, I'll help you out and make sure that you're successful.
Yep.
But if it's like, oh, and also because I realize this is a pain in the ass, I'm willing to like give you a discount or something.
Well, I mean, if no one takes you up, then I think you up the offer.
Yeah, it's
right?
pretty clear it is. And it is, right, you're right, it's slower. Mm-hmm. It's like to schedule a thing is going to take more time than if you just did it yourself.
And especially if you're at that point. You've gone through, you've entered your credit card. Personally, mm-hmm. I rarely like to enter my credit card, not immediately, especially on the internet. Like,
totally.
I've now made the decision. I have purchased, I want that thing. The
yep.
immediacy of the internet has kind of ruined us as a society. So,
well, wow, sounds like a different podcast topic.
No, you know, we got to dip there every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so maybe I'll offer some sort of thing like I'll knock off whatever percent of your first month
yep.
as like a thanks for helping me
Stripe makes
learn things about you.
Coupons easy.
Yep. So one other thing that we did that kind of gets us there, that's not the same, but it is similar, is we set up this, Dan Croak has been helping out. He's our chief marketing officer and growth hacker extraordinaire. I bet he would cringe to hear that. But he installed a Full Story, which is a recording JavaScript-y thing.
Yep.
So I can watch people click around and scroll and click stuff and whatnot. And so it's not as good as like live onboarding them, but I have been learning some things.
Tell us, we had a similar one on Upcase for a little while. It was the one, Hotjar was the one that we used. But definitely you see things. You're like, wait, why are you clicking? Oh, that's not where you click. Oh, I wish I could have talked to you. Mm-hmm. I should fix that.
Yep. Yeah. I actually pushed a couple fixes and made a couple changes just based on Full Story things I saw.
Yep.
Because it's like, oh, people think they can click that. Yep. Like I saw there's a thing on like our landing page and someone was like trying to click it, click. I'm like, that's not going to, oh, right. I know why you think that's a thing. So I fixed some stuff. But it also led me to a larger change, which is someone, like I saw a person like, so we default in the $29 a month plan. If you click the big, like the blue button at the top, like create my form, we pick our lowest tiered plan. But there is the secret solo plan or like the de-emphasized solo plan. And so like the FAQ says like our cheapest plan is the $9 a month plan for one thing. And then if you click the big CTA in the header, it's like, here's your $29 a month plan. And people, and I actually watched someone go back and forth between those two things and be like, and clearly be like, what? Why is it nine? Why is it 29? It says nine, and then like disappear.
Yeah.
And I was like, crap.
So what's the solve there though? Because what do you do, Ben?
I bet you could guess.
Our cheapest plan is the $29
plan. Yeah, you got it.
I believe for a while I was suggesting that you have a free plan. and you know what? Your pricing changes seem to be working thus far, so maybe don't listen to me. But
yeah, all I do is keep upping the price.
You do. At some point, you're going to hit a wall.
Yep.
The problem, so the concern I have legitimately about that, like I think the experiments that you're doing are interesting. So far, they're going well. You will hit a wall, but then the noise and the data that we have is... The data is noisy, to put it differently. And I worry that, like, if you start to see a correction now, do you know what to attribute it to? And because you've moved pretty quickly through different pricing tiers and pricing levels, I don't know that you have enough data to say authoritatively, the traffic that is landing on FormKeep is fine with this sort of pricing. And then if you switch to, it basically feels like you're moving pretty fast, and I don't know when you hit that wall. Will you know it? Will you be able to say, you know what, that clearly was too high? Or will you be like, huh, less people are signing up. Not sure why.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
And I say that because when we get to my update, stuff went weird for me this week, and not knowing why is really awful. And then trying to correct based on incomplete information, that concerns. Like I said, it seems like stuff's going really well. But I wonder what it will look like when you do find that upper tier. Because if you keep raising the price, at some point you're going to find it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to keep raising it. It feels it feels like it's at a good point now where it's on the high end of reasonable. Which is, I think, where I want to be. Like,
well, so, I think we just found the pull quote for this episode.
Yeah, maybe. But so I talked this over with Dan, so I'm not just operating in a total vacuum. And I was like, hey, I'm thinking about getting rid of the solo plan, blah, blah, blah. And he was on board with it. I think... businesses that are doing multiple forms are going to be really good clients for us.
Yep.
People with personal sites with one form are probably not going to be great customers for us.
I totally agree with that sentiment, with the exception that I don't think those are distinct.
Someone in the past has signed up for the $9 a month plan and then upgraded to the $59 a month plan.
Yep.
Just in the last month. That has happened.
And I've personally seen this a few times now where people have come in on coupons for Upcase, sampled, thought this is great, immediately upgraded to a team plan and are now in the wonderful land of being a team. But I think that's something that you can possibly figure out down the road. I continue to suggest it and think that that's a great approach, but I understand you're like, let's figure this out. Let's find out some numbers here and then maybe start to figure out how to backfill down to that.
Yeah, I think this is always going to be a bit of like a hill climbing thing or like a search. Okay, some sort of like a little bit higher, a little bit lower, a little bit higher. Like where is the special sweet spot of pricing versus number of forms versus features and all that?
Yeah.
We'll never solve it. I think we'll be like messing with it all the time, and I think that's okay.
Well, so again, my concern there though is how do you know? I don't think you have enough traffic that are actually converting to be able to say that with confidence.
Say what with confidence?
This pricing structure works versus not. It's too high, it's too low.
Yeah. So I think part of it's going to have to be qualitative. It's just like, are people complaining that the price seems off?
Yep.
Like, are we having trouble converting visitors to trials because they look at the pricing and they say, no way?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I don't think we have the traffic to, like, be running A-B tests for a whole bunch of pricing tiers. I would love to. But, like, I can basically afford, like, one A-B test at a time, and it takes, like, 6 weeks to get relevance in under normal circumstances. So it's like, We'll see. But yeah, so now I'm playing fast and loose and doing what makes sense based on my intuition and what people are telling me and other feedback of other people that hopefully know things too.
Makes sense-ish.
Yep. Ish, I'll take it. So no more solo plan. So people are still on the solo plan. Like I'm grandfathering people into that plan, for example. Like if you only have one form, if you're a grandfathered customer, we're going to move you to that $9 plan, no problem. But you can't switch to it from a higher plan and you can't sign up for it from the landing page as of right now. So... I fixed some animations on the landing page. It used to have like this fun little set of animations and they just stopped working. And
tragic.
Somehow I didn't notice and now they are back, the fancy animations. I don't love them. I think they're better now that they work. The page is better overall, but I still like would like to overhaul the landing
page.
What
are the animations of?
It's like it's trying to show you in a visual animated fashion like how you like someone submits a form. That data shows up in Formkeep.
Yeah. Animations.
Yeah, they're kind of, I don't know.
You've also got kind of the scroll state-based stuff going on.
It is scroll state-based, yeah, which I don't love either. So, I don't know. I'd love to take another crack at this page. My, like, thinking over the next couple of weeks is to try to be talking to more customers, be getting a better sense of who's succeeding with Formkeep. Like, who are the really good fits? So, like, we say form endpoints for designers and developers.
For agencies.
Is it really both designers and developers? Mm-hmm. Is it mostly designers? Is it, do they call themselves designers? They call them front-end developers? Are they mostly putting forms on static sites or like are they like Thoughtbot where they could build a backend but don't want to?
Mm-hmm.
Or like is it a person that doesn't know how to build a backend?
Mm-hmm.
So like there's all kinds of different like nuance in there that I think would make our marketing message really good.
Well, I think you're also talking to individuals right now, but if I'm understanding the rest of what you're saying about pricing and things like that, you're looking for agencies and groups and companies and contact form, so simple, it's almost free or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a contact form is not something that an individual has. That's something that an agency, a company, what have you, might. And so you could have landing pages specific to those sort of search terms.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it, link maybe to knowledge base articles or whatever. But yeah, it sounds like you're shifting more what was historically a product that we made for ourselves that was very much for developers and designers. Now your ideal customers are more in the company space. So talk their language, whatever that is, which I agree, like the thing to do there is to talk to them, find the words that they use, and then, you know, share that back.
I think it's still designers, and it's, I think the customer, like the user is still designers and developers. It's just like the context. Who are they building their own personal website versus building sites for other people? Are they building one a year versus 20 a year? That to me is the interesting thing.
I think, so I think the people who are going to use it are still going to be designers, developers, but form endpoints or static site forms or things like that are probably some of the verbiage that's being used now.
Mm-hmm.
But like I think you've said in previous episodes that contact form is the most common usage for Formkeep.
Yep.
Do you have a landing page now about contact forms that says contact form really loud and in H1 and in the title and stuff like that?
Nope.
So I think like that and whatever else it is that a company is using it for, despite the fact that probably the individual that's going to be visiting and making the purchasing action is going to be a designer or developer, still talk in the words of like the job to be done is form.
Totally.
The job to be done is, I don't know, whatever other types of forms these are being used for. I'm not actually sure. What else are people doing with Formkeep?
It's almost just contact forms.
So you need a page that says contact form like everywhere on it or at least in the H1.
Yep.
That's the game.
Agreed. Yeah, and that's the goal over the next couple of weeks is to dial it. I'd like to basically niche us down a little bit more narrowly for now.
Yeah.
And be like, we are just amazing at contact forms on static sites or like whatever our like whatever the phrase that like makes the most sense to our best customers. Like, let's just say that everywhere and become really good at talking about that and servicing that need.
I mean, you could make a few of them and see what sticks. Contact form sounds like it will stick, but you could make two others.
Yeah, I think to me the first step is like talking and researching a little bit. I'm doing more like when someone signs up, I check out their domain, like I look at the company, like who are they, what are they doing,
Clearbit, that sort of thing.
Just like I have their email address, so it's like at whateveragency.com. So I go check them out, and like if I have a name, I'll say okay, what is their title, what are they doing. So I'm starting to get a better sense of it.
Yeah, you're setting a great example for understanding and talking to your customers, and I thank you for that.
Oh, sure, I'm trying to do it a bunch. What else? That's like the big stuff for this week. We can talk about revenue a little bit at the end, but it's going really well. We're having our best month yet in terms of MRR added. So
cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I can chat about some things.
Okay.
So we'll lead out with the less than great stuff, and then we'll talk about some other stuff.
Okay.
We've had a reasonably significant revenue dip, monthly recurring revenue, as the interesting metric is. Particularly, what are the actual numbers here? We dropped by almost $400 in the last week in MRR, which is significant. I'm not thrilled about that, if we're being honest.
So it's like a percent and a half.
Yes, something like that.
Your revenue somewhere at 30 something, mid 30s.
Yeah, 30. We were at 35. We're now at 34.7 or so.
Okay.
So, A, concerning overall, and then now the game gets to be played of like, okay, what's going on? So I went through an interesting kind of sequence of emotions and experiences with this. First, it's just like, ah, come on, what's going on here? And there's a little bit of this number is subject to variance. That's just a truism. But there are also underlying causes. And so when I look at it, for a few days, it was going down a little bit. And I was like, oh, that's all right, whatever. It'll probably pop back. It pops back typically. It does this. So I tried to not think about it too much. And then it just kept going. And now it just kind of keeps moving and has now significantly eroded at what was a nice high point. So I think the thing that was most interesting is I went from a place of feeling sort of out of control. And that was a not great emotion. The actual decline in the number, we've had dips, we've had increases in the past, but it was the not knowing why that was really concerning. So I dug in, and thankfully we were able to root out a few different things that seemed to be the causes, and just going through that was a really positive experience. Mm. So good coming from the bad. So there are, I think, two primary things. There's always the noise. We seem to have slightly lower signups and slightly higher churn. Those seem to just be normal variants. So we happen to have hit a bad point, but there are two distinct causes that I can point to. So I went to our marketing team and I said, like, hey, this is going on. Can you tell me anything about this? Can you look at, you know, sessions, or are we getting less traffic? What's going on? And so they responded and they said, what happened on March 22nd? It's like, oh, that's a very specific question. Okay. And I went and I looked, and that was the day that I sent out the email announcing Advanced Active Record to the broad 10,000-ish people in the newsletter segment.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened following that was a bunch of people signed up. So that inflated our revenue in the expected way. People signed up. We have more revenue now.
Yep.
But due to the nature of that group, they were particularly interested in that course per se. A lot of them have churned since. More than a typical like organic person searching. They come, they tend to stay around a little bit longer. This group had higher churn. And I think I've experienced this back in January as well, when we sent out the, hey, level up with ThoughtBot in 2016. That email had a similar kind of spike and then trough after kind of a drop off. So that has led us to slightly higher than average churn, in addition to what seems to be a normal fluctuation in that.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit extra on top that can be accounted for based on that group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one thing. The other is more unfortunate. We're in the process of finalizing. I'm trying to lock in a lot of the acquisition work that we've been doing. And one of the things is switching over to a new email sequence.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of doing that, a couple weeks ago, I turned off the old email sequence, getting ready to turn on the new one.
What's the sequence?
So historically, we've had the Upcase newsletter, which was generic. Here's some Ruby tips. Here's some Vim tips. Here's some things.
Yep.
It was largely pointing outside of Upcase. So it was saying, like, here's a giant robots blog post. In a few cases, we were pointing at videos, but they were the Wistia kind of hidden version. So we've done a lot of work over the past few months to make it so that we have content within Upcase that we can show, that we have free samples of. If you have authenticated, you can see these weekly iterations, these the first two videos of a bunch of courses, et cetera, et cetera. So we're transitioning from the old one, which was that, to a new one that is more Upcase specific, but still offering value in the sense of lots of free stuff.
Sent to people that whose email you have but are not subscribers.
Correct. So these are people who come in and they authenticate to access something. They sign up through the GitHub button or through just a normal sign up. And then following that, we'll say like, hey, welcome. But I never turned that one on. So I turned off the old one. I was going through and I was like, I'll turn this one off. And then I'll turn, well, that one's not quite ready. And then I bounced back and forth a bunch of times trying to solve that.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, for like 3 weeks, we've not been sending any of those emails.
Gotcha.
So we saw almost a 50% drop in our landings from email.
Landings? Oh, signups from email?
Landings specifically. So people visiting the site.
Oh, okay.
So we have organic traffic that's sending people here. We have some display ads. We have some other things. Email is by far the most effective channel. It's like 1.8% that it converts at. But that's largely a downstream effect of others. Like, you've gotten an email because you've been here before, you signed up, you displayed interest, we're now following up with you, you land, you convert. Mm-hmm. But as a result of not sending these emails to anyone, less people showed up.
Yep.
So I'm very hopeful that those two are the causes. The Advanced Active Record people, I think we've burned through that, so that should be done or very much diminished. We shouldn't see more of that effect continuing on. Mm-hmm. And today I'm turning on the new email sequence, so that will be good. Mm-hmm. And I think that should get us back on track.
Does the email sequence, I mean, is it basically a sales sequence eventually for Upcase?
Essentially, it is a sales sequence for Upcase, almost entirely, but the goal is to give value first,
yeah,
and then
definitely
to try and convert people. So it's a sequence. The basic structure is, hey, this is Upcase. We're really proud of it. We've worked really hard. This is the tool that we use internally for training that we built, you know, for all of these reasons. Check it out. And then the next email is, hey, there's actually a bunch of free courses. You can try out these free courses before you even subscribe. Mm-hmm. You can click through to them. So to kind of show that portion, the next one is about the weekly iteration, saying we have new stuff every week. This is conversations between developers and designers. Here's a couple free samples that you can try or browse the whole index to see everything that we've got. Mm-hmm. And we've now, as of this week, updated that page as well. So it's extra fancy and hopefully does a better job of selling the depth and breadth of content that we have in the weekly iteration. And then the last one is the final, like, no, it's really good. You should really definitely probably subscribe. I really think that would be a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. So that's what this new sequence is. And that's largely based on some of the most successful emails that we've had, the New Year's campaign that we did, some of the other course launches, just some of the most effective language that we found in that, as mm-hmm. well as mixing it up with, we actually have stuff to give you here. It's not just me begging you for money by any means. Here's some stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah, that needs to get turned on. So, yeah, revenue dip, not super happy about it, but it happens. The other thing is we may, in fact, be hitting a plateau. If we are hitting a plateau, there are these other factors that have caused us to dip rather than plateau, but it may be that that's still there, mm-hmm. that all the work that we've done on improving conversions and search optimization and all of that, we've kind of hit the ceiling of what that can give us with our current churn mm-hmm. levels. So despite seeing this dip, my plan is to continue on with the work that I was planning, which is now switching over to onboarding, activation, retention, figuring out what the work to be done there is, and then diving into that work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
gotcha. So you think you might be in sort of a steady state where your churn is roughly equal to your signups, plus or minus a couple $100?
I don't know, is the thing. So I do really hate how noisy this data is, the fact that it's slow, the fact that there is a... I don't know how, like, enterprise sales folks do it, where the sales cycle is like 9 months. If you make a change, it's like, all right, we'll know in 9 months if that change worked.
Yep.
Ours are obviously a bit quicker, but for me, I'm still looking at probably a week at a minimum before any change I see in these sort of things I can see the downstream effects. And then from there, there's even further effects of like, well, it turns out the emails, they work well, but then those people don't stick around as long. So organic really seems to be where I should be putting my money.
Mm-hmm.
But I am hopeful that we have not actually reached a plateau yet, and that if I fix these things, then we'll be better and we'll actually be on a slight growth curve. And then I have more work that I'm planning that will hopefully increase even more.
Well, you should. I mean, in terms of like, has your churn equaled your signups? That's just, you can just run a calculation today, basically. Roughly, right?
I can, but both of them have a lot of noise. Like, there's noise based on the active record group that has increased our churn, but I don't believe that that's representative of the overall mm-hmm. cohort churn. Mm-hmm. Similarly, we've seen reduced signups, but again, I turned off the magic signup funnel. Mm-hmm. So it's a hard question to answer. And even if those two were not present, whenever I look at that data, it's not clean. It's not like, oh, yeah, those two numbers equal each other, because they're not numbers. They're variable. Like, we get, I don't know, somewhere between 2 and 15 signups a day. Mm. But it's anywhere between 0 and 20, actually.
Right.
And we get anywhere between 0 and 18 cancellations. So I can look at it in aggregate, but it is hard to see that data. I wouldn't trust if I were to look at it and be like, yes, definitely at a plateau right now. But we've been tapering off overall, so I feel like we are approaching that, and it's time to try some new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. That's kind of the expectation. We've been working a lot on the acquisition side of things, and I think we've done some good work, and that's allowed us to grow to the point that we're at. Now we can shift and focus on the retention side of things, and if we can fix that, then that will open up additional growth as long as the acquisition stuff stays steady, which I don't believe it would change. So, That's my understanding of the math. It's basically an equilibrium between those two numbers. Spent a while working on number A. Yeah, number A. The first part of that equation. And I think it's good work. I'm happy with where we got to, and my goal was to kind of stabilize that.
Yep.
So with the emails in there, I feel good about that. Now we switch over and we work on the other side of things.
Yep.
So, like I said, that was the start. Real quick, we did this last week, but I want to say it again. Shout out to Flexbox. Man, that thing's amazing. I had another just small design task, and I remember many times just feeling, again, kind of helpless. It's like, I know. I just want those two things to line up and mm-hmm. be centered in this way. I just don't know how to do it. And Flexbox is just nice and expressive and allows me to do the things that I know how to do. It doesn't make me a designer by any means. I can't necessarily choose the best way to organize things, but when I know what I want on the screen, it lets me do it, and mm-hmm. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Just going back to the revenue thing for a second.
Yeah.
Your revenue churn is 14%. I think that's like a lot lower than it used to be than when I was like working on this, right? It seems like your churn trend is down. Is that correct?
I'm
just curious. Let me see.
Yeah. Why don't you run that back?
It goes up and down, turns out. It looks like it varies between 15% and 18%, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So you kind of bounce around.
A little bit, yeah. I think we've reduced it a little bit. There has been some work to doing featured solutions, adding in search, adding in video markers, adding in notes and things like that. There's been a good amount of work that we've done to try and make Upcase as a platform more valuable to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But over the past few months, I haven't been focusing on that as much. I've been focusing much more on the other side. So now it's time to go back. And I'm hopeful that we can bring that number down. I don't know what, I don't really have a goal in mind for that.
Yeah.
It's hard to put numbers to all of these things.
Yeah, for sure. Just looking at the MR, so Barometrics has a good thing, the MRR breakdown thing,
yep.
where it shows you like per type, like you added this, you expanded this, you reactivated this, yep. contraction this. I don't know. It's hard to say because it's not a complete month. It's doing it based on April.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you're down a bit for April, but yep. like, so part of me looks at like, here's like $400 and says, okay, that's like 1.2% or something. Like that might be mm-hmm. nothing. It might not be even like worth digging into. I mean, it's probably good that you did just to see what was going on, but
well, it's a trend because like it was a number of days of going down. Mm. Whereas we had, I mean, we've seen dips, and there was an episode I think like 3 weeks ago where I was having a similar lament where I was like, oh no, we're in a dip, but we've popped out. Mm-hmm. Maybe that next week I come back and I'm like, oh, just kidding, it fixed itself and we're good. But this one seems to be a little more sizable.
Yeah.
And also looking into it, I did find root causes. In the past I've not.
Gotcha.
Just yep. been like, you know what, nothing to see. But in this case, we were able to look at it. And like I said, that was really heartening to find something that I could hang a hat on and be like, huh, it's going down. Did I just lose control of the ship and it's just sinking slowly underneath me? Or are there root causes and particularly things that I can affect?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the active record thing, not much I can do there. But the not sending out emails, I can fix that one.
Yeah, that was.
I know how to solve that.
A good find.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like looking at like the net new MRR, like December was 1200, January was 982, February 794, March 598.
Yep.
April's negative 158 so far.
Urf.
So it seems, yeah.
Come
it seems
on, like April. Get your acting gear.
Yeah. The slope of like net new MRR,
right.
which is like the kind of the ultimate truth, is like tending down a little bit.
Right. And so that speaks to approaching a plateau, I think.
Yeah.
That's the nature. Like, we'll be constantly adding stuff, but we'll also be churning at an increasing because churn is a percent and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of if we're actually there or not, we're heading towards it. I mean, you're always heading towards it.
Yeah.
But
right.
I'm not out of ideas. I got lots of, I'm ready to scramble, ready
right.
to get it done.
Well, it seems like, yeah, like you said, a lot of your focus has been on the, like, try to get more people yeah. into the thing and, like, less on the make the product even slicker thing.
Yep.
So I think there's probably a lot of stuff to be done there that would be good.
Yes.
Make it a lot better.
So real quick to go through some of the stuff that we did land, we updated the content menu. So there's in the header, you click content, drops down a whole thing and shows, we've got this great stuff on Vim and Git and this and that. And so it was, the original version of that was sort of arbitrary. It was sort of a grab bag of what we have. Now we have a revised version that speaks more to the content that people really seem to like and engage with on Upcase, and that helps with purchasing decisions. So mm-hmm. revised that and also restructured it, restyled it just a little bit. We also landed the changes to make the weekly iteration index and topic index pages and the way they display the weekly iteration the same. It displays whether or not it's a free episode, which historically was not visible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in there now. We also updated the checkout. So I think this will be the last kind of real overhaul of the checkout. But what this does is emphasize it down so that when you land on that page, if you're signed out, there's a big yellow GitHub button that you can click, because that's my goal, is to get you to click that button.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you come back from GitHub, you're now seeing a credit card form. Hopefully you'll fill that out. If you don't, we have the opportunity to follow up with you, see what went wrong. Very similar to your, nah, I don't want to pay.
Mm-hmm.
We have that kind of built in with GitHub auth. So that works out nicely for us. But it also really streamlined down that page. The previous version that was on Upcase was a big form, lots of fields, four fields, but that's a bunch. And the credit card form and a really de-emphasized GitHub button. Despite the fact that it was that de-emphasized, like 80% of the people were clicking it at some point. They were using GitHub auth.
Mm-hmm.
So our user base seems very comfortable with authenticating through GitHub. So we wanted to make that as streamlined as possible.
Mm-hmm.
When you land on that page, I want there to be no opportunity for you to get distracted and click away and go to Hacker News or anything like that. You know where to click. It's very easy.
Should hijack their browser.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And send them to Hacker News?
No, just permanently add it to their host file.
I don't think I can do that. I'm not sure, though. I can look into it. But yeah, so that is up. Happy about that. Fixed a couple bugs and things. We switched over to Honey Badger from Airbreak a while back. And just that transition was a chance to view our bugs anew.
Mm-hmm.
And see, like, there are certain things that we had kind of gone blind to in Airbreak. And mm-hmm. also, Honey Badger has a different way of presenting it and a different mm-hmm. way of aggregating them and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... I've been trying to be a little more aggressive about following up when there is a bug that shows up and actually being like, okay, I need to understand this. There is a thing here. Let me fix that. And this is like one of the ones that I'm thinking of. Users try to download preview videos. So like the 2-minute sample for a video. Turns out that doesn't work. The nature of the links, and it just was broken. We wrote the code wrong, but there's really no reason for them to download those either. So I got rid of those links and now fixed a bug. And it's very simple things, but it's nice to see an error report and know that that's something that I need to do something about, not be like, oh, you know, that error happens a bunch.
Yep, totally.
The broken Windows thing. So
mm-hmm.
I liked the reset that we got when we switched over, and I'm trying now to be a little more aggressive about paying down bug debt and things like that.
Okay, I like it.
A little bit of normal content stuff, a couple of things that are in work but not done yet, so won't talk about those till they're done.
Okay.
But yeah, that's mostly what we did. I got some thoughts on what I'm doing next, but we can probably go into the questions at this point, unless there's any other stuff you want to talk about.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Actually, I do have a question for you first.
What's that?
What will you do if you do plateau?
If I do plateau?
Yeah.
Well, so I already have, there were actions that I was planning on taking anyway.
Yep.
And so I'm continuing on with those.
Mm-hmm.
If those fail, if I plateau and that maintains,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a large amount of, I need to dig in and see, there are these two numbers.
Mm-hmm.
This one has stabilized here. This one has stabilized here.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do I think I can move better?
Yeah.
And attack?
Mm-hmm.
So again, I have a number of things that are already planned that I was going to do that were on the plan and have been for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do those and then I'll reassess. I'm pretty hopeful that they will solve things, but I think the answer is always understand the situation better.
Yep.
And a lot of that would be like if churn continues to be high, or regardless, talking to customers to try and understand why they're leaving.
Yep.
That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, talking to people that don't purchase. That seems like a good idea. I like, you know, the way you're describing the conversation that you're having there.
Mm-hmm.
I like that as well. And using that as a way to get a little more honest feedback and be like, hey, nope, totally get it. You're not going to buy. That's fine. Not trying to buy. You just want to understand. Can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, why is Upcase not right for you? What were you hoping to see that you didn't see?
Right.
That
yep.
kind of thing. I don't know if that's a good answer, but that's my answer.
Sure. Yep. Okay.
I'll ask you some questions.
Okay.
Why is your product better for your customers this week than it was last week?
It's more expensive.
Seems good. All right.
Last week was, or the week before was like a lot of bug fixes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. This is, the stuff I fixed is mostly actually sort of in like the getting into the product funnel.
Okay.
And so maybe not that much to say here.
Okay. What have you done to acquire more customers since last week?
I made the product more expensive. Yeah, nothing, I guess. Nothing explicit. Is that true? Yeah, I guess it's true. No explicit efforts.
I like the...
That's not true. Sorry. I got in touch with Dan, and we have a series of things that we're working on. One of which is running some paid advertising.
Okay.
So we're going to try, I think, at least Facebook, Twitter, and Designer News, which is... So like we posted... Designer News is like Hacker News for designers. So, yeah, go figure. So we posted about FormKeep being a thing when it first launched, and we still get people through that link signing up for this service. And so I was like, hey, let's try running some ads on there. So we're going to do the old like standbys, like probably AdWords, Facebook, Twitter, and then I'll, and then mix in like a this as well, and just sort of see, or do any of these channels seem promising?
Yep.
So that's actually in progress right now.
Cool.
Yep. Oh, and we turned on some lifecycle email things. So like if you make a form but you never get a submission, we email you about it. If you sign up but never make a form, we email you about it.
Is that all in Intercom?
That's in Intercom, yeah.
Right.
I wanted to do Drip, and then Dan like pre-wrote everything and put it in Intercom, and I was like, I guess I could just turn this on and it's done, so fine.
I think you're in a similar place where we're stuck in both camps. We have some stuff in Drip, some stuff in Intercom, and if you're anything like me, there are at least three other systems that send emails on your behalf in an automated fashion and confuse your users.
Yeah, everything sends email. Yeah. It all sends emails.
What did you do well that you should repeat?
I think this general idea of talking to people a lot and soliciting feedback at every corner is going to pay huge dividends for us over time. Mm-hmm. I think even though you it bothers you, I think messing with the pricing has been the biggest lever so far, it seems. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was something else totally unrelated that I'm not aware of, but like it seems like the biggest impact that I've had so far is that I've changed the average revenue per user that signs up.
Yep.
Like to basically 3x what it was.
Yeah.
And so now like the numbers are all kind of like, oh, okay, let's add more revenue. So maybe more, probably no more price fiddling, but more talking to customers and like looking for the other big lever. Mm-hmm. I think the next big lever is like, okay, we get a decent number of trials and they convert at a decent rate, but like some people are just forgetting about it. Some people are not actually getting value. So like how do we get people to that value way faster?
Right.
Which we've discussed before.
Makes sense. What did you do poorly that you should reduce? You've not had an answer to this one for the past 2 weeks.
I know.
That doesn't feel...
I know. It's not that I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. It's just that, like, when I think about it, I'm like, what did I suck at this week? I don't know.
All right, I'm going to ask you every day this coming week.
You should.
Ben, today, think about how you suck.
What was the worst part of today? Yeah. I think I'm just too optimistic for this question.
All right.
But I mean,
that's fair, but you need to be, you know, constructive criticism of
totally.
Self and all of that.
And again, it's not my, I don't think I'm perfect.
No, I,
but yeah. You should try to catch me on this okay. more often.
What do you hope to do by next time?
Do poorly. I'm writing down a note to myself. This is a terrible way of thinking.
Just have a
calendar. Make sure every day you ask yourself, how did I suck today?
What could I improve at?
Come okay,
on, put it in positive
that's
nomenclature.
That's a better way to do it. What do I hope to do by next time? I hope to not change the pricing for 1 week. No, I'm going to watch a bunch of...
Godspeed, Ben.
Yeah, right. I'm going to watch a bunch of full story stuff. I want to talk to customers. I would love to get somebody to onboard with me. God damn it. I might just start...
Offer them something.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to start offering them like straight up cash money. I will square cash you $50.
Wow.
Yeah, talking to people and trying to make the product better. I'm working with Dan on a bunch of different like little growth things. Mm-hmm. More of the same. Be more awesome. Make more money.
Cool. MRR, up or down?
We are up 14%.
Nice.
To 61.88.
Very nice.
Which is
that's
cool.
That's a high watermark for you.
It is. Like just looking over the last 12 months, added like 300, 500, 500, 100, 100, 300, something like that in terms of net MRR per month. This month we're at 1,100 and there's 9 days left. A lot of that, one of the biggest changes in that, so we're adding more people at the top, like that just brand new revenue, more than usual, about twice as much as usual. But we also have a whole bunch of reactivation in there,
all right,
which happens when you email 7,000 people that used to subscribe to your product.
I mean, didn't some of them also cancel because of that?
Yes, churn, but not as much as you expect. Like our normal churn is about, let's see, like 400, 250, 800 last month. Mm-hmm. This month it's 700. Mm-hmm. So we've had, you know, some churn, but it looks like the net result is people are like, oh, yeah. So which just gives me hope that the pricing actually makes more sense. Because that was like, again, people's biggest complaint back when I surveyed them. And so it's like, okay, if I email people and like their biggest complaint before was that it wasn't working for them. And now we have these tiers that do work for them. Like, they
so the complaint previously was that pricing was the issue.
Yes.
And across the board, the prices are higher now.
Prices are higher net, but they're lower per form.
Okay.
So before, it was like there was a point where like commercial forms were $25 a piece per month.
Right.
And now, like every tier you go up, your per form price drops. Mm-hmm. So, and also, I think there's a little bit just also of mental, like people see $29 for four forms and they divide that in their head and they're like, okay, that seems reasonable. Hmm. Like $7 for form, fine.
You should put those little things like in the supermarket, unit price.
The unit price. Yeah, actually. Yeah. So,
actually, should you?
I don't know.
I was joking, but maybe.
Maybe.
This is your price per form, and you can see it goes down with each of the tiers.
That's probably not crazy, honestly.
Hmm.
I think that's probably good, because like, I would expect people to expect it to go down,
yeah.
But maybe they don't know for sure.
Or the math, like, you know, mental math, people are good, not great, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
If you can clarify it. And
totally,
right, anyway.
Why not? Yeah. Cool. So why is the product better for your customers than last week?
I would say the main thing here is the weekly iteration is a little more browsable thanks to the updates to that page and the topic pages.
Okay. What have you done to acquire more customers?
Similarly, we've got the weekly iteration is a little bit better of a sell. The content menu is updated and restored the email sequence. Super excited about that one.
That is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how...
Whoops.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I realized the other day, I may have already mentioned this, that like our blog for which we pay someone to publish a post on every week doesn't link to formkeep.com.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, or vice versa. So it's like, great. I'm being awesome.
Did you fix that, though?
It's on the list.
I saw it's on the list, but did you fix it? That feels like an easy one to fix.
It wouldn't be on the list if I'd fixed it yet.
That's true. Well, I looked a couple days ago.
I've been trying to do... I think that's the thing I've been doing well is like thinking of a thing, and then rather than put it on the list, just do it right there. Mm-hmm. Even though it like feels more reactive, it's like not quite as strategic. It's like nice to just like blast stuff.
Yep.
Done, over the finish line, ship
right.
it. What did you do well that you should repeat?
I think picking the most important thing, finding, because there's a lot of stuff that we could do, but trying to find, well, which of these will actually be the most important and making sure that's where my hours go.
Yep.
So I would say that plus, you know, we'll just go with one. That'll be good.
Okay, gotcha. What did you do less well?
I think letting some things take a little bit longer than they should have, allowing things to grow in complexity and not finding a direct path to closing them out.
Mm-hmm.
That said, again, this is one that I noticed and then got pretty aggressive about finding solutions. And it's interesting. Thursdays, by virtue of knowing that I'm going to talk about stuff,
you ship a bunch of stuff
causes
in the morning.
Me to go into aggressive ship it mode and be like, okay, no, but how do we close this? How do we get this done? You know, trying to maintain quality and things like that. But this has been lingering. What's going on? Do we kill it? Do we close it? What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
Nonetheless, could have been done better.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week, I guess.
It seems like that's your less well thing on a number of weeks. So it's probably worth noting that like your tendency is going to be to like, how do I make this really, really good or perfect or whatever and like compensate the other direction on average.
I should make a big perfect is the enemy of the good and put it right above my monitor.
Right. And I'll make a better, like a big, what can I do better? what do you hope to do by next time?
By next time, I got a bunch of stuff, but I'm also hoping to take some vacation. So we'll see. The onus is on Gabe to get all of this done. But so we are just about ready with video editing for our next course launch. So now is the time to start compiling, finishing up the notes, getting the exercises in place, and basically preparing for the launch of the next course.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wrap my head around what we have for onboarding and engagement and retention emails. Like I said, we're sending that from like 9 different systems, and they're not necessarily in sync with each other. So I want to understand what do we have and then compare that with sort of an ideal, what should we have? What should we be talking about and when should we be sending them?
Mm-hmm.
Gabe will be coming to visit in a few weeks. He's going to be recording a trail and some weekly iterations. So I want to work with him and support fleshing out an outline for all of those. And the last one is I want to get a handle on our retention analytics. So as I start into the adventure of fixing onboarding and retention and all of that, need a way to measure it. So we have Amplitude, which is our primary system for that sort of stuff. And it looks as though it actually has some really great built-in functionality around this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know it terribly well, and I'm not sure that we're in the same place. So similar to you, I've reached out to our chief marketing officer, Dan, and he and I are going to have a chat tomorrow about setting that up and ensuring that I know what I need to in order to use that as a guide as to whether or not the work is working.
Can I make a suggestion about one of those things?
Yeah, absolutely.
The launch of the new thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is. Do I know what it is?
You do. Bourbon.
Ah, yes. So there's a suggestion. Come up with a number of blogs and podcasts.
Yep.
And influencers and whatnot that are not Thoughtbot.
Yep.
So, and like, how do we get a post on Designer News? How do we get a post on like famous designer guy blog, whatever.
Yep.
How do we get our designers interviewed on whatever podcast to talk about it? Like some sort of like concrete marketing plan that goes beyond our properties.
Yes. So we've I think progressively gotten better at this with each of them, and we're using our properties better. We're using, you know, multiple things. We're emailing a larger segment, but that is one area where I've recognized that I pretty much just fail. But I totally agree, and keep me honest on that, Ben.
Sweet. Cool. There's some things. People talk about this a lot. Like everyone that talks about like, you can make your own, like build an email list and then make a course and then sell it to them. They talk about all that like marketing stuff.
Yeah.
So there's like eBooks out there on whatnot on this stuff. If you want to read a book about how to sell books / whatever, I'm sure you can find some.
I'm sure I could. But yeah, I think that's definitely important and something that I will and can and will do.
Cool. MRR.
MRR is unfortunately down 34,687. down. It's about 400 down from the last high point. So
okay,
there we are.
Cool. I think it'd be good to talk about MRR in terms of percentage.
It's like 1%.
Yeah.
I think we did that math earlier.
Yep. Just in terms of like, that makes sense to me, right? Does that make sense to you?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Mathematically, it's complicated and I'd have to think about it. I see the reasons that it could. I also could see the reasons that it's not. If we're adding in unit values rather than as a percentage, like the idea of a network effect in an app, it will grow exponentially. Therefore, percentage will hold.
I guess what I mean is just like if... Like percentage equalizes across everything. So it's like, if you're like, I added $500,000 in revenue this year, you'd be like, oh my God, that's incredible. I'd say, oh, but actually I'm Google and that's, you know, a tenth of a percent.
Sure.
Whereas if we can say Google grew 10% and we grew 10%, like that's like an easier way to compare things of disparate sizes.
I hear you. Actually, I mean, I find percentages make it noisy. I know how many people are on our team, and I know that $500 in increased MRR, I know what that means. That's a hard number in my world. Mm. And a percentage of anything else doesn't tell me anything about how many more Thoughtbotters I can bring onto the project. So I prefer to think about it in terms of...
how far you are from a third person?
Yeah.
That's
but that said, it's pretty easy for me to do the math, so I can provide both.
Okay.
Best of both worlds, Ben.
Great.
Awesome.
I think that's it.
Sounds good.
Cool. Today's show was produced and edited by the tumultuous Tom Obarski. If you'd like to access the show notes for this episode, you can go to giantrobots.fm/192. Thanks for listening.